Okay, we're back to the same parable, the story of the sower, the seed, and the soil. And in this case, we're going to look at the soil today. Last time we looked at the sower, and before that we looked at the seed. The seed is the
Word of God.
The Word of God. Thank you. Okay. And who are the sowers? We're the sowers, right? So now we come to the soil, and this is interesting because it gives us a little bit of understanding sometimes. When we go sowing seed, the Word of God, we go sharing the gospel, there's going to be different reactions to the gospel. And that's what we see in the soil today as we look at the four different kinds of soil that is mentioned. There are four different kinds of reactions to the Word of God when the seed hits the soil. Now the soil is the heart of the person. In this parable that Jesus is giving. So there are different hearts that are out there that respond in different ways to the gospel. Let's look at those ways that people respond, and let's encourage people to come to the place where their hearts are ready to take the Word of God completely in. So we're going to read this parable again in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside all things come in parables. So seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things, entering in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Father, we pray this morning that you'll give us a wisdom and understanding of your word, that we might, Lord, be able to grow in the truth of it, we might be able to better minister to other people and have some understanding, Lord, in helping people to turn wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. So open our own hearts and minds this morning and give us wisdom, Father, wisdom from the Spirit of God above. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to do today is look at these four different kinds of soil and maybe to think about these four kinds of soil and how do they fit in to our experience. So Jesus had said in Matthew 4:4, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. So he gives the picture here of the soil being so hard-packed. The wayside is really like if you have a field where you're planted your grain, or you're in between every field, there would be a path around the field. And some of the seed landed on the path. Well, that pathway would be so hard-trodden down that when the seed would land on it, couldn't penetrate the soil. So before long, who comes along?
Birds.
The birds. And the birds snatch that seed off the top of the ground and go off with it and eat it. And so the seed never gets to get in the soil at all. That's the picture that Jesus gives here. And so then he gives us the spiritual application in Mark 4:15. He says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, where the word falls on people who are by the wayside. They are a picture of a heart that is completely hardened to the things of God. So the seed just hits that heart and it just bounces off. And he gives the picture here. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The devil is at work in the world. Don't underestimate his power. There are times when you're sowing the word of God where it just bounces right off. Now, I don't want you to be discouraged at this, because God is able to break up the hardest soil. He's able to till that soil, but it may take time. And sometimes God uses the word just to begin the process of breaking up the soil of hearts. And I want you to have hope as we look at each one of these. But the principle that's here is to understand that there is this reality that as we sow the word of God, there will be different kinds of responses. Sometimes those responses will look like everything is going well, and other times we'll realize, something's still not quite right there. Something deeper has to happen in the soul of this individual. So here, as the ones by the wayside, we preached the word of God. It was sown, but it didn't bring any response because the heart was so hardened. And so it's always my encouragement for people not to harden their hearts to the gospel, but to listen carefully, to understand that there are spiritual forces at work. What can we do as a sower in that situation? We can pray. We can pray for that person, because I've known times when I've shared the word of God with people and they're just bouncing right off. It's not penetrating. They're not getting it. They're not understanding what's being said. But I don't give up. I go home and pray for that person and ask God to till that heart. Ask God to break up this hard heart. Do whatever you need to do, God, to make them tender to hear the word of God and receive it. Because God can do that. It's wonderful that he can, isn't it? But the reality is we're going to experience this at times. And at times you can get frustrated. You can say, what's the matter with them? Why don't they smarten up? Can't they see? It's plain as the nose on their face. But it's a spiritual thing, friends. And the devil is at work. You know, the Bible says this. If our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, people who are lost, whose minds the god of this age, small g, the ruler of this age, that is the devil. What does he do? 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, "He, the god of this age has blinded their minds who do not believe, so, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So the devil's blinding people's minds to prevent them from hearing the gospel. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants or slaves or love slaves for Jesus' sake. We're preaching Jesus the Lord. And now in 2 Corinthians 4:6 it says, and here's the beauty of it, it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Even though the devil blinds the minds of people, God is able to break through that blindness. He's able to overcome the devil's power and cause people to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So there's always hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. He commands the light to shine out of the darkness. He is able to overcome. So praise the Lord that even in spite of the darkness, in spite of the devil's work that seeks to take the seed away from the soil of a heart that's hard, and there are many hard-hearted soils out there. I was a hard-hearted soil, but God broke up the soil. How did he do it? I believe he did it by people praying for me. And there were people who prayed for me over a number of years. And finally, I came to faith in Jesus Christ because God broke up the soil and prepared the soil to receive the word. So the next one, Mark 4:5, says this. Some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. So it's kind of like, oh, it's full of rocks. Maybe you got a garden like that. I don't know. But there's rocks everywhere. And, you know, it's pretty hard to get a good crop out of a rocky field. That's why we pick stones. Here it says that the stony ground didn't have much earth. There wasn't much soil. Move to Newfoundland and you can find this out, right, Elsie? Yeah. That's why they call it the rock. Yeah. There's a lot of good soil. There are places where there's a lot of good soil. I take that back. But there's a lot of coastal areas where it's very, you have to find those pockets of soil. That's right. I'm not being critical, okay. Well, it's true in Cape Breton too. There's a lot of places where you're not going to be able to plant anything. It's not going to grow there. And so what happens is it says it didn't have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So often what happens is if you plant seed in rocky soil where there's no depth of earth, it'll spring up fast. It'll look like, whoa, I'm going to have a big crop here. But the problem is that the roots can't go down deep because they hit rock. There's nothing there to sustain them. And of course, if the sun comes out and your soil is very shallow and it's all rock underneath, what happens? It's going to dry up really fast. And that's what he says. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. So he gives this picture of throwing seed, planting seed, where there's too much stone in the ground. He says, so here's the spiritual application in Mark 4:16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Excuse me. So they're excited. There are people who can get, you know, all of a sudden, oh yeah, I want this. This is wonderful. This is awesome. It's an emotional response to the word of God, but there's no depth there. The soil's not tilled. It's still a hard ground. It's kind of like there are people who jump from one fad to the next, right? Oh yeah, I'm 100% going for this, right? And then maybe 3 days later, oh, no, I'm 100% going this way. And then 3 days later, it's something else. And then there's something else. Why? Because they're not allowing any root to grow at all. There's no depth to that. And so sometimes people are going to respond with gladness to the gospel, but it's not a full response. It's not a real response. You see, the problem always comes back to the soil. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There never is. It's how good the soil is going to depend on how well the plant is going to grow. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when we receive the word of God, we need to understand that receiving the word of God is not just an emotional response of the moment, but it is a wholehearted, complete willingness to let God have everything in your life and not to keep apart and say, okay, no seed's going to penetrate this part. This is what I want to do, and nobody's touching it. Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get in trouble. Why? Because you're not allowing the root to go down. Does it make sense? Okay. So here's what he says. They're like those on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. So they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. It's just like, as long as the bandwagon is in my favor, I'm going on it. But as soon as I don't like the way it's going, I'm jumping off this bandwagon. I'm looking for another one, right? So there are people that are like this, sadly, who are not, in a sense, they're not genuinely wanting God to take over their life. That's why it's important when we preach the gospel that we make it clear that God's calling people to repent. That means you have to turn away from your whole life and you have to give your whole life to Jesus Christ. Is that making sense so far?
Yeah.
This is not teaching that people get saved and lose it. It's saying these people are not genuinely saved because they didn't truly turn from their sins. They wanted to keep their sin and keep Jesus too. Okay, the next one is some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So he gives another illustration here, not the hard ground, but now there's thorns. Now, you know, there's all kinds of weeds there, and you throw the seed in among the weeds. What chance does a plant have among the weeds? Not much of a chance. Why? It chokes it out. This makes sense, doesn't it? So now he gives the spiritual application of it, and he says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I repeated that there. But so it becomes unfruitful. What has happened? What happens is there's, again, there's something wrong with the soil. This time, it's not the rocks in the soil, nor is it the absolute pressed down pathway of the soil. It is all the other things of life are more important. So the picture that Jesus gives here is that these things need to be rooted out. They need to be rooted out. All the things that you could say, this is important, that's important, that's important. You cannot take Jesus as your Savior and chuck him in with everything else in your life and say, I'm going to keep on going the way I'm going. I want all these other things, often sinful things, and I want them in my life, and I'll take Jesus and he'll just, I'll fit a little corner for him over here. No, it doesn't work that way. The weeds will choke out the seed. It won't have a chance to grow. And so what Jesus is giving this illustration, he's not teaching that some people get saved and then lose it. He's teaching that real salvation is when the heart is tilled and ready, when the heart is willing to say, Lord, you can have everything in my life. When the heart is not willing, is not saying, I'm resisting you, God, here, 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 and here, but I'll let you in over here. No, those rocks are going to cause you trouble. Or, Lord, I want you to come in, but I want to keep everything else too. It won't work. It just won't work. It makes a change. The gospel is meant to change your whole life. If you don't want your whole life changed, never mind. It's not going to work. And this is what he's bringing out here so that people can understand that when you're going to share the gospel, you're going to run into these kinds of situations. And sometimes it can be discouraging because you share the gospel with somebody who says, whoa, yeah, I want that. Okay, sure. And then maybe a week later, I changed my mind. Right? And sometimes you can be discouraging. Oh, wow, this person accepted Christ as their Savior, but it doesn't seem like it was real. And actually, in some cases, it isn't. God knows whether it's real or not. Don't misunderstand me. But that we leave that with God, but we need to have that understanding when we sow, or we're going to get very discouraged at times. We find, man, I'm sowing a seed, but it's just bouncing right off. The devil's taking that word away. Or I'm sowing it, and it seems like people are saying they're saved, but then they just go off and live for the devil all the time. It doesn't seem like there's any life to it. Well, that's going to happen too. Understand that that's the case. Or it seems like the person accepted Christ, but they're just continuing on living for the world. Their heart isn't the Lord. They're letting everything else come in and choke it out. It's exactly what Jesus said it would be. But then, thank God for this last one. That's kind of encouraging that there is this one, right? But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the 60 and 100 is the result of it, okay? So if there's 30 times as much as what you would have put in, like you put a plant a seed, you don't expect to get one little seed back, do you? You plant a seed, you expect a harvest, right? And sometimes the harvest will be 30, sometimes it'll be 60, sometimes it'll be 100. And that is saying that everybody's going to be different. But those who are true believers, these are the ones sown on good ground. And those who hear the word and what? Accept it. Not only hearing, but truly hearing and accepting. And do what? They bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so the actual desire when somebody is sowing seed is that they get this, right? Because there's no fruit in any of the other ones. They never made it to bear fruit. Why? Because of the stony ground, because of the hard heart, because of the unwillingness to let Jesus have his way in every part, because of the unwillingness to turn away from things that would choke out the word of God in their lives. And so there's nothing left to bear fruit. Every true believer will bear fruit. Now, what kind of fruit do we bear?
Joy.
Okay, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The Bible says that's the fruit of the Spirit. And other kind of fruit that we bear is also that we multiply. We share the gospel with others and they listen and then they become believers too. That's another way that we can bear fruit. So we can bear fruit internally and we can bear fruit externally in our lives. And some are going to bear more fruit than others, but that's okay. Everybody's going to have a different calling. Not everybody's going to bear as much fruit as that person over there. You don't have to say, oh, that person's bearing 100 times more. Oh, that's I'm no good. I'm only bearing 30 times more. It doesn't matter. That isn't the issue. Some are going to be more than others, but that's okay. We're all going to be different in the kingdom of God. We're all going to have different callings in the kingdom of God. But we must bear fruit. Yes.
So that would really be a double meaning there. Good ground, those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. That's the fruit of witnessing to people, bringing people to the Lord, and then the fruit of the joy, love, and peace.
Absolutely. It's probably the fruit of the Spirit first.
Yes.
And then the fruit of evangelism as well. And that doesn't mean that you have to be there when the person gets saved. It means that you're praying for somebody. One prayer whispered for some one person that they might come to know the Lord. That might be the only thing you'll do in their lives. You may never have a chance to even talk to them. But in that one prayer, maybe 10 years down the road, you may never even know it. You'll have that person get saved. And God hears that prayer. He marks it down. He doesn't forget a prayer. And so we can bear fruit in so many ways that we don't even see. You know, it's amazing what God does. But if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there's got to be some change, right? He brings change. I mean, when God comes in, something else has to go out, right? And so this is what he's bearing here. This is what he's telling us. He's giving these examples that people might understand. Look, there's different kinds of soil. There's different kinds of people out there. They're going to react in different ways, but sow the seed. Now notice, sow the seed to everyone. That's one of the things. Normally, if you're a gardener, you don't throw any seed on the pathway, do you?
No.
You don't throw any in the bushes, and you don't throw it on hard ground. You usually just make sure that you sow it wherever the soil is all rich and prepared. But here, Jesus gives an example and saying what he wants us to do is sow the seed everywhere. He wants you to sow it everywhere, even though there's going to be these kinds of reactions, because God is able to change those people and he's able to till up all those other kinds of soil too. He's able to bring transformation in the lives of people so that the soil can be tilled up, so the soil can be prepared. But here's the thing. Don't try to pull a harvest off too prematurely. Let the seed do its work. Let the word of God work into people's souls and hearts, and so that they might be sure and they might understand that when I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm giving my whole heart to him. It's just not a fluffy response. Sometimes what preachers do is, I remember I was told, we did a movie called The Jesus Film. It was called The Jesus Film. And I went to Inverness and I gave it out to every person in Inverness. And then I went back later and asked them, you know, did they enjoy the film? And what about, there was a prayer at the end. Did you pray to accept Christ as your Savior? Mostly everybody said, yes, I prayed that prayer. Well, just because a person said a prayer doesn't mean that they really understood the gospel and really trusted in Christ. And as a matter of fact, as I said, well, she said, some people would say, well, I say that prayer now every day. And I say, well, that's good. But do you know that you're saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Have you really trusted Christ as your Savior? I don't know anything about that, but I say that prayer because I like it. You see, and so what they actually, when the report was sent back, they wanted me to send a report to this organization that made the film because they wanted to be encouraged by it. They wanted to know how many people prayed the prayer. Well, I could have written down, well, maybe 1,000 people said the prayer. But then what can happen, somebody said, 1,000 people got saved. You see, that's not necessarily the case. All it did was plant the seed, right? We have to let the seed do its work in sinners' hearts. Saying a prayer doesn't save you. really trusting Christ as your Savior does, where you're willing to say, Lord, I forsake everything and I'm trusting you. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that is in this camp is perfect, okay? It doesn't mean that there isn't failure. Listen, I can go and get a garden ready and have it all tilled and have every weed out of that garden, right? I can have that soil so perfect, the pH level is just right. That's the sweetness of the soil. Everything is just, the amount of lime is just, everything is perfect. And I can plant the seeds in that soil. But if I just say, okay, it's all perfect. I'll see you when the harvest comes. What I'm going to find is that before long, somehow, those pesky weeds can find their way in the best soil that you could ever have ready. Right? It takes constant tending, doesn't it? It does. And so even in this soil, the good ground that's broken up, prepared and ready, it doesn't mean there aren't going to be weeds. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be struggles. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be things grow up in our lives that are going to have to be dealt with and rooted out. All of those things will be true. But it does mean we've got a good head start, right? The plant has enough to be able to begin to bear fruit. And so then we can deal with the weeds. We can deal with the problems and the issues of life that come. I think that's important for us to understand. Lest we think, oh, well, gee, I could never be this one here because I've got my struggles. Of course we're going to have our struggles. Of course we will. And we will continually have our struggles. Think of a plant growing up here in Shetty Camp. And in a garden in Shetty Camp. My goodness, what adversity that poor plant has to grow up here. Right? When the first big southeast comes along, what chance does that plant have? It's going to get beaten around. But if somehow that plant is deep-rooted enough, it will survive. But if it's shallow-rooted, well, they'll be picking that plant over in the Madeleine somewhere. Yeah. That's what will happen, right? So adversity will come. Trials will come. But if we will root ourselves in the truth of God, if we are willing to say, Lord, you have all of me, if we are willing to repent and put all our faith in Jesus Christ, we will find ourselves safe and secure in the Master's hand. We will begin to bear fruit, and we will have a life that will honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the end of our series on the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. And I pray that every one of us here would be the good soil in our lives. And that, Lord, we would say, Lord, till up the soil some more, O God. Lord, let the roots run deep into our lives. In Ephesians, it talks about us being rooted and grounded in the love of God. And I praise God that we can be those rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask as well that we will be faithful to go out and sow the seed. Even when sometimes we don't understand the responses, we know that you're at work. And remind us, Lord, to be praying for people that their hearts would be softened and tendered and broken up like that soil so that the seed can fall in and bear root. And then eventually bear fruit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us this morning. We appreciate you so much, O God, and your wisdom that you show us from the Bible. In Jesus' name.